Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, will join us here in a moment. I'm seeing that Doug Wilson, GM of the San Jose Sharks, I guess, was speaking with the media out there. And he's in one of those rare positions where he doesn't care if they come back or not.
No.
They're done. And it doesn't matter what the playoff format is. San Jose is not going to be a part of it.
He's hoping they don't.
Hello?
Mullen just spoke in my ear, so I didn't hear what you said. What'd you say?
I would say Doug Wilson hopes there's no hockey so they can just forget about it. Never happened.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's over, and they don't have a pick anyway. It's Ottawa's pick.
Ottawa's got that pick, and that's going to be a high pick. Like, we did that near the end of the year. We did the draft simulator on those Ottawa broadcasts. Like, Ottawa could, like, legitimately have, like, two top three picks. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. At this point, they have definitely two in the top five. Like, the worst they can pick, I think, is fifth their own, and maybe it's sixth or seventh at worst case scenario for the San Jose pick, but I think at this point, both of them are going to be in the top five. But what I was saying is it sounds like the media up there in San Jose is reading between the lines, but it sounds like Bob Bugner is going to return as their head coach. And here's Darren Dreger, our TSN Hockey Insider. And Dregs, we're just saying San Jose is one of those rare teams. There's probably a handful of them in the year or in the league that it doesn't matter if they come back and play again. Their season's over. They might as well do the review process. And I guess they can start figuring out what they're going to do with their coach, what they're going to do with free agents, because it doesn't matter if they play again. They're not going to be in the playoffs.
No, that's fair. And a lot of clubs are essentially going through their off-season work now, even though it's not the off-season. And, you know, that includes looking at what are still labeled as interim coaches. You know, I look at Billy Guerin, the Minnesota Wild, and, he's acknowledged that Dean Evason is going to stay on if the NHL returns. And San Jose will do the same with Bobby Bugner. I can't imagine that Calgary does anything different with Jeff Ward. But what complicates things is going to be the quick turnaround, right? You know, if hockey resumes, you know, our belief is it's going to trickle into late summer, and next year may not start until November at best, and so that doesn't leave a whole lot of time to get more of the off-season work, to make your decisions on available coaches or whether or not you take the interim tag off guys like Bobby Bugner, et cetera. So teams aren't necessarily worried about it now because they don't have to be worried about it, but it's something they're going to have to consider in the future.
Darren, we were talking about Mike Babcock yesterday, I believe it was. You know what his intentions are? Is he still just kind of hanging out at his cottage and kind of doing retired stuff, or do you know what his intentions are moving forward?
Well, I haven't talked to him specific about his intentions, though, but I did swap texts with him the other day, and it was more about, life specific and how things are going. And for the moment, he's like the rest of us. It's very, very quiet. I mean, he's had a whirlwind of travel over the last several months since being let go by the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't think that he's in any rush. I really don't. And I think if there's another opportunity, and I'm in the camp that believes there will be, it's going to have to be the right opportunity. Maybe a more veteran team that he can step into that's a little bit closer to winning than, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs were when he first took over and got them to the point where he was finally let go and Sheldon Keefe got the bench. But in saying that, you know, Mike is a hockey coach, and you know, he's going to be willing to listen to ideas. But given the uncertainty of hockey, period, and the stress of the world right now, I'd be real surprised if there's anything on the table for him as early as next season. He may have to wait this out, but financially, that's not going to be a problem.
No, he's holding down the fort financially. He's made a lot of money, and he's got a lot more money coming in. So clearly that's not going to be an issue. With Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider, we were discussing this with Ray in the 5 p.m. hour that the NFL, their competition committee, appears to be moving towards accepting a sky judge. In other words, I think seventh official for NFL games, where they'd be up in the replay booth and they would be able to communicate with officials on the field of play. And we brought that conversation into the hockey fold, and Noodles has been advocating for something like that for quite some time. Has it ever been on the table at any point? And if so, what's the appetite for a situation like that in the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, it depends who you ask, to be fair, Brian. You know, I'm sure that there are parts of the hockey operations department with Coley Campbell and Mike Murphy and Chris King and Kay Whitmore and all the good people there that have the luxury, like the rest of us, you know, sitting in a room with multiple monitors and looking at different replays after the fact, who like that idea, that think it would be helpful in a league that wants to get it right all the time. But then you've got the officiating world, and Stephen Watkins, the head of that at the NHL level, and they push back, understandably so, appreciably so, every time there's anything that suggests that there should be more video review or there should be an added layer to make sure that you get it right as often as you can. So I know it's been discussed in the past. I got a hard time believing that the National Hockey League would embrace anything even remotely as significant as that in the near future. But now's the time to talk about it. Now's the time to consider those sorts of things because there's not a whole lot else going on around the National Hockey League right now.
Well, exactly. I mean, I think at the very least you could have conversations like that. I know yeah. I know we have on this show for the past couple of weeks, more so about a playoff structure or how creative you can get with games and where you might play them. But that's yeah. big picture stuff that would apply to the game for a long, long time.
Well, and you're right. You know, sorry to interrupt, but you're right. Like, I think this is the type of stuff that should be put on the table. I'm sure there's a laundry list of things that, you know, may have been at some point on an agenda that if they are at the table, if there is time right now, like there is to put to the forefront and have these
right.
conversations. You know, that's to me, you know, maybe they've had these board of governor meetings and that's been one that's pushed to the side because they've got other pressing needs. Well, now you can get farther down on your list. If there is a platform for some of these guys, I think a lot of the owners at least have to take a look at some of the, I don't know if you call it rule changes, but at least look what's best for the game because everyone's looking for that next level edge to get it right.
I don't disagree, but I think there'd have to be a seismic shift in thinking inside hockey operations for that to happen. It hasn't been that many years, a couple, maybe three, where there's been a former NHL official that's in the Situation Room in Toronto on a nightly basis, right? And it took a long time and a lot of convincing from the officiating department to make that happen. So how do you go from, you know, pretty big step forward in having an official on hand on a nightly basis and helping you go through the multiple reviews and everything that happens on a game-in-game basis to having an eye-in-the-sky type of format? I mean, that is like worlds apart. That's like Sega Genesis to where the kids are now playing Fortnite and everything else. And I just, even though you're right, now's the time to talk about it. I'll be in the camp of shocked if the NHL considers it in the near future.
Yeah, I think you're probably right the way that they generally operate. But, you know, I guess at this point that's all we can do is look ahead and forecast and, you know, hope something good comes out of this because it doesn't sound like we're playing anytime soon. And everyone we've spoken to, players, GMs, coaches, everyone we've heard, they've all kind of got the same marching orders, or it sounds like it. You know, it's not only the NHL. NBA, NFL, they're all like, listen, be healthy, be safe. That's what we're worried about right now. We don't have any answers, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Speaking
that
about no answers, Bry, Darren, what has to happen for it to be like, okay, there's going to be no season? I mean, we all want to be optimistic. We all want to see hockey. But if there's some city or country or whatever that says no sporting events up till July, whatever, like when is the cutoff date where they can't have a season and get into next season?
It's a good question, Jeff, and many are speculating and talking about it in terms of that date on the calendar and has it been circled in the commissioner's office, and I don't believe it has. And there is a bigger belief that, you know, the NHL will wait as long as possible, and so will the NBA. You know, if the NBA pulls the pin and says, look, we're just wiping out the rest of the year, then maybe the National Hockey League starts to think long and hard. Or maybe it's out of the hands of the NHL and major sports, period, to your point. You know, what if Europe or the United States, you know, what if Trump just said, we're closing the borders. No one is going into Europe. Nobody's coming out of Europe unless you're an American citizen until September 1st, as an example. If right. something significant politically like that were to happen, well, what do you do? I mean, you can't strand those European guys who play in the National Hockey League over there. I mean, there's too big of a percentage. Or if that happened in Canada where, you know, politically, you know, the prime minister closed the borders, you know, for, you know, an extended period of time, again, that dips late into the summer, then what do you do? That's completely out of the hands of NHL ownership and the Players Association. So the guessing as to when that calendar date is exactly that. It's an educated guess based on just the uncertainty of the world, frankly, at this stage.
Well, again, yeah, it's a daily update without much update. I mean, that's what we're waiting for. We're all on the edge of our seat hoping for some sort of breakthrough, but doesn't seem realistic at this point, not anytime soon anyway. Good stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Hang on a sec, Darren.
Yeah.
We were having a debate on this show about Tom Brady and Derek Jeter.
Right.
Who do you think? Let's just go with a couple simple questions first. Who's a better-looking dude, Brady or Jeter? Answer.
Tom Brady.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And if you drop Tom Brady in New York City, who do you think would have a better Rolodex as far as social-type things, if you know what I mean, Darren?
I Tom know what Brady, you mean, Jeff. Yeah.
Tom, thank you, Darren. Tom Brady or Derek Jeter?
Well, if you dropped him in New York and gave him the same status, it would be Tom Brady in my world, for sure.
Thank you, Darren.
If you kept them apart, and Tom Brady stayed in Boston with the Patriots, which we know isn't happening moving forward, versus Derek Jeter, I feel like the Yankees logo is going to win. So in that respect, Jeter would win.
And that's the appropriate answer, because that is what we're talking about here. Brady is the quarterback in New England, six Super Bowls, hanging out with Belichick, going to Applebee's, and Jeter is in New York at the hottest club in Manhattan.
Brian, let me just put it to you this way.
It's not noodle.
Right now, both retired. Let's just say right now, Darren, you can chime in as well. Right now, they're both single with their resumes what they are. They both walked into a cocktail place in New York City. Who do you think would get approached first?
Jeter.
No!
Yes.
That's wrong.
Yes.
That is wrong.
No, it's correct. It's a fact. It's a science. And I don't know what else to tell you, man.
Darren, care to chime in? Darren?
Nah, I might disagree with Brian on that one.
Thank you.
And look, I mean, Tom Brady's a far better looking man at this stage. And not that that would matter to the clientele that would be interested in either. But, you know, New York sports fans aren't ignorant football fans. They would know who Tom Brady is.
Right, of course.
So it's a tough one, but in that context, I might take Brady. I might give him the edge.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it there. I think you're leading the witness here, as he's been doing all afternoon.
Yeah.
But that's fine. That's fine. All right, buddy. Well, good to hear you, and good to hear from you and your takes on Brady versus Jeter. Even though they're wrong, we accept that they're your opinion.
All right, boys, have a great weekend.
All right, there's Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. All right, well, you continue to badger the witness. I mean, Noodles is supposed to be Judge Ito here.
Well,
Step in whenever you're ready.
Judge Ito. I said, I believe that Brady is better looking, personally.
Thank you,
Jamie. But that doesn't mean, I agree with what Brian's saying. Brian plays for a bigger, Jeter plays for a bigger brand.
Bigger brand, bigger city, better city.
That's what he's been trying to sell,
is
that Brady is in Boston in the New England area. If Brady was the captain of the Yankees, it's not even a question. But I think Jeter got the brand bump.
Right,
It's bigger. That's what you've been arguing.
Absolutely.
But I will say, both of them single in their heyday. I mean, a 6 foot what, 4 or 5 quarterback?
Yeah, 6'5", something like
with
that.
With the bum chin and that? Like this,
potentially
like this
plastic
guy.
Surgery. Potentially.
Yeah. Potentially plastic surgery?
Dude, we had that conversation a couple of weeks ago. Something's going on with Brady. Look at him now compared to him 20 years ago. His whole face has changed. He's a different dude. Different hair, different face. He's
diet,
in better shape.
His diet could have changed, too.
Yeah, his diet has changed drastically. I'll give him credit for that. But anyway, the poll is up online on Twitter at Overdrive1050. We will reveal
Let me just get through the results right now where we're at. We are at still 52%.
Yeah, it's going to be close. It's going to be a toss-up between now and tomorrow at 4 p.m.